Welcome back to Safe Talk with Safe Start. I'm Danny Smith. Most people today are not really looking for an attaboy, but instead just candidly looking for someone to ask, how are you? I recently came across a Facebook post that made me stop and think. It read, there are two types of tired, one that requires rest and one that requires peace. Unfortunately, the author of that bit of wisdom has been lost to time. And with SafeStart, you know, we address the first of those two. However, we call it the state of fatigue. The second, that's a bit more complex, and we could probably fill several podcasts delving into that. Mental fatigue and just needing that peaceful time to recharge mentally is certainly a broader human factor that can affect us in a lot of ways. But for today, let's focus specifically on the fatigue that can be remedied with rest. And I know for me personally right now, we're recording this after a long holiday weekend. And I can tell you, we had the kids and the grandkids over for the weekend, and I am just about ready for some rest myself. Love the time with them, but boy, I'm exhausted. So requiring rest is actually why we want to chat today with today's guest, Cara Moore. Now, she joins me from across the pond from the United Kingdom. Cara is the CEO and the founder of ProNappers Limited. So, Cara, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Danny. And yes, that's right. I'm CEO and founder of ProNappers, and I am also a nap ninja. I am an unashamed napper.
That sounds wonderful. I tend to be myself, but I got to say, you know, when I first came across the episode that you joined Larry Wilson on Larry Wilson Live, I have to say that, you know, like a lot of folks, I kind of approached that with a bit of, I guess you could say, a healthy amount of skepticism, even though I'm fond of my naps myself. But obviously you have convinced me that that really is something that we need to be thinking about and talking about. And that's kind of obvious, I guess, by virtue of today's podcast. So napping really does have a place in our daily lives, right?
Yes, that's right, Danny. And your reaction is not an unusual one. And I am really glad that you're convinced now. As at my company, ProNappers, we definitely think that having a nap, if you want to, should be part of the workday, not just something you do at the weekends or on holiday. Mm-hmm. Because when you stop to think about it, napping during the day has so many benefits. And I'll just run through a few of those with you now. So when you've had a nap, you will be more alert and focused and more productive. So you'll have better concentration and you'll work faster and with more accuracy. And because your brain fog will have cleared, you're going to make better decisions. The other thing about having a nap is that it keeps you safe, because after you've had a nap, when you're less tired, you're less likely to take reckless risks. And you're also going to listen better. So you're going to listen more attentively to instructions. And as part of the listening, you're going to listen to your colleagues and your team members more. So your relationships at work will improve. There's also been some research to show that after you've had a nap, you're going to have better manual dexterity. And as well as those physical things, you're going to have better mental well-being, because I know from my own experience and from talking to people and research that a nap lifts your mood. And after a nap, you feel less anxious and you have a more rational perspective. And if that list is not long enough, there are physical health benefits as well. And recent medical research is showing that having a nap reduces strokes, some cancers, heart attacks, and dementia. So I think it's a no-brainer, Danny.
I agree. And the benefits are incredible. And with Larry, when you did Larry Wilson Live, you mentioned something I think is really, really important for us to talk about with this. And that is our culture tends to be very much a power through culture, just power through the day, if you will. So we really need a cultural shift in the U.S. And we need to begin, well, I guess instead of power through, maybe it's power down a bit instead, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And in my opinion, that power through paradigm is both pernicious and pervasive, and it's ineffective. It's not good for productivity or well-being. In fact, humans are meant to pulse through the day between bursts of activity and rest, and we need to periodically power down in order to power up and be productive and not power through. I'm going to give a word of warning, though, because whilst we need to get better at this pulsing and resting during the workday, we need to make sure that it is for the right reasons. So, for example, in China and Japan, in the East, they are already much more open to napping at work. But their main goal is to squeeze more out of their workers. Mm. And that's something in the West we shouldn't mimic. So one way to start the cultural shift is for senior leaders to talk about their napping habits. And from our anecdotal research, many leaders do recharge and have a nap behind closed doors. That's the reason they want the corner office. They just don't tell anybody what they've been doing.
That's funny. You know, I've never been in the corner office myself, but I can tell you with my previous employer, I would occasionally close my door, not for a meeting, but just kind of to lay my head down on my desk, even for just a couple of moments. So I can relate to that as well. You know, when we think about how fatigue affects us, and you mentioned safety earlier and how it affects us from a safety standpoint, the list of disasters where fatigue was a factor is, well, it's sadly pretty long and fairly recognizable as well. I mean, we know that fatigue played a role in a lot of disasters, such as the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion, the Chernobyl disaster, Exxon Valdez. Fatigue is often cited as a contributing factor in many airline crashes as well. But really, the cost of fatigue, that can impact our businesses in very subtle ways as well, right?
Mm, yes. Indeed, the role of fatigue in accidents and overall human performance is often underestimated. But in fact, research has shown that the cost to the bottom line of a tired workforce is phenomenal. So it's been shown to be, believe it or not, $411 billion US dollars, or 2.3% of your GDP. In the UK, it's 50 billion, or 1.9% of our GDP. And in Japan, it's just under 3% of their GDP at a staggering $138 billion cost because the workforce is tired. And the problem is that the remedy of being tired is usually just to address how to get more sleep at night. But I think that's only part of the solution. And short rests in the day or power naps have a valuable part to play.
That makes perfect sense. Now, you mentioned as well, as a part of the research that you've done and other research as well, that the length of the nap is crucial as well. So take us on a little bit deeper dive with that and talk about the length of the naps we should be taking.
So it's well thought that 20 minutes is the ideal length of nap. And that's right, because if you nap for more than 20 to 30 minutes, you go into slow wave or stage 3 of the sleep cycle, and you'll wake up feeling groggy. People talk about that post-nap inertia, and that's because they've slept for too long. Hmm. And NASA research showed that the optimum length of nap to improve alertness was 26 minutes. But you don't have to have 20 minutes to get the benefits. If you can certainly nap for less than 20 minutes, and naps of 10 minutes or even less, the so-called micro nap can reap benefits. If you are lucky enough to have more time, you can certainly have a longer nap, but don't go for that sort of midway 40, 50 minutes. Go for the full siesta, that 90 minutes, which is the length of one full sleep cycle.
And then the sleep cycle is very important. We'll talk more on that in just a few moments. You know, my grandfather was very famous for jokingly saying, I'm just resting my eyes. Although I think his snoring was usually a clue that we probably shouldn't overlook. But is there a benefit as well, even if you don't go completely asleep, is there a benefit to just getting somewhere and being quiet and just resting for a few moments?
Absolutely, Danny. You don't actually need to fall asleep to get the benefit. Simply unplugging, closing your eyes, and resting your mind will allow your frazzled, tired brain to relax and settle and reset itself ready for the next period of productive activity.
Very good. Napping seems especially critical for a lot of us just because we probably aren't getting enough sleep or a good night's sleep. And I hate to ask this next question because I know the answer is going to be more sleep than you're getting because I probably don't sleep enough. But what is the minimum number of hours that each person should sleep on a nightly basis?
So the experts recommend 7 to 9 hours, which is 5 to 6 full sleep cycles that take you through all the stages, including the REM stage. And getting a good night's sleep certainly is important because being tired, as we've said, impacts fatigue on the job the next day. But for many people, despite the best knowledge of sleep hygiene, getting a good night's sleep is elusive, and excuse the pun, but getting a good night's sleep is just a dream for many. Most of us know that we need to switch off our devices an hour before bed, avoid alcohol 3 to 4 hours before bed, not drink caffeine after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, have a good wind down routine, I don't know, warm bath, read a book, avoid antagonistic conversations, and sleep in a quiet, darkened room at the right temperature. But despite all that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and those are sound so important to me, extremely important. For me personally, I am a very light sleeper. I think a bomb could go off in the room and my wife would probably never hear it. But for me, just the slightest noise wakes me. So let's talk a little bit about some of the sleep interrupters that are out there.
So there are so many. There are the obvious ones. So being woken up by a newborn baby, as the kids get older, you might be kept awake, waiting anxiously for your teenager to come in at night, or the noise on the stairs. Snoring partners, or a partner that gets up to go to the bathroom a lot during the night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're human beings, and we have natural tendencies to enjoy ourselves. So we're going to drink some wine and beer, and we might have a late night binge on Netflix or social media. All these things can keep us awake. And let's not forget a racing mind. You know, stressful thoughts and anxiety will keep you awake.
Yeah, and let's take a moment here and just talk a little bit about the effects that not getting a good night's sleep could have. Say you have a very difficult night's sleep, or maybe you get less than 6 hours. I recall a story from our own Rod Wagner, who's on our assessment team. After surveying employees at one site and finding that the average sleep time per employee was a little less than 6 hours, he reported that back to the executive group of the company. And he asked them this question. He said, "Are you aware of the sobriety problem that you're having here?" And as you can imagine, that certainly got a lot of attention.
I can believe it, because if you have 3 nights of less than 6 hours sleep, it has the same effect of being over the legal alcohol driving limit.
Wow. In your previous discussion with Larry Wilson, he pointed out that, you know, driving a forklift while drunk or intoxicated or under the influence, however you want to put that, everyone would agree that's something that would be something that someone would be terminated for. It would be a fireable offense. Yet we think absolutely nothing about asking that same driver to work a double shift. So let's go back to the introduction for a moment. I made the statement that most people are not looking for an attaboy, but instead are looking for that candid, how are you? I think maybe we should be doing both, really. And for our SafeTrack clients with SafeStart, they're not going to be surprised there, because in my experience, if you just ask folks, you know, how are you doing today? Most people are going to let you know what they think. Maybe another thing that we should be asking, though, is did you get enough rest last night? Or any tips that you could pass along to our listeners to get specifically at fatigue?
Sure. So asking your colleague, how did you sleep, or did you get enough rest last night, is helpful. But it needs to come from that place of genuine care and not lip service because you've been told to ask it. And it needs to be free of any intonation that they should have got more sleep. So it's their fault in some way that they didn't. And you need a culture that has a high level of psychological safety so that the person can answer honestly. And if they are tired, that it's culturally acceptable for them to look after themselves and manage their energy and have a nap. Personally, Danny, I think the onus should be taken away from the employee getting a good night's sleep, partly because, as we've discussed, it's often very hard to get a good night's sleep despite our best intentions, but also because, interestingly, even if you have slept well, humans are biphasic sleepers, and that means that they have a natural urge to have a second, shorter sleep in the middle of the day. So having a nap should be a normal thing to do and not scorned. And at ProNappers, we think it should be both acceptable and accessible. And by that, I mean that people have a place to go and nap. But I know we're going to come on to where to nap later.
That sounds great. Yeah. Do you think the global pandemic that we're still experiencing now, how do you think that has affected sleep for all of us?
Well, it has had a detrimental impact on sleep. There's certainly more anxiety around as people have been laid off work. One of the other aspects is with people working from home, there's a lot more screen time. You know, there's this concept of being virtually visible online. People are working alone. That contributes to anxiety. And it's been shown that people are working longer hours. The workday is longer during the pandemic than it was when people were going to the workplace. And people are also working strange hours. So they've been working, getting up really early to work, or they're having to work really late, either side of homeschooling their children.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You mentioned the screen time and that virtual visibility. I've seen some reports and studies about that recently that are just very interesting, talking about the physical fatigue of seeing yourself and seeing others on the screen for so long, but also the mental fatigue that that causes. And obviously there's some eye strain issues and all of that that we can relate to as well. Let's think back to kind of the traditional workplace for a moment. In a lot of the plants that we work with, they often are on a rotating shift. So what are your thoughts on rotating shift work and how that affects us with our sleep patterns?
Well, if you are going to be working late into the evening or going on a night shift, then having a nap before you go to work can help reduce sleepiness. And naps can also help you recover after a night shift as you're just back to a normal sleep routine. And at ProNappers, we've actually identified three types of naps. So the nap that you would have before you're going to be working late, we would call a planned nap. And pre-COVID, that would have been called the disco nap. You know, it's that nap you know that you've got to put in an all-nighter. The other two types of nap we call the recovery nap. So that's the nap when you start the day feeling sleep deprived because of whatever it is that's got in the way of you sleeping that 7 to 9 hours the night before. And the third type of nap we talk about is the refresh nap, which is the natural nap that anybody would have in the afternoon, even if they've slept well the night before.
I was giggling as you said that first one, because One of the things some of our listeners know, I'm a musician and I play at our church. I also play with some other groups. I've played with some groups and they go out and play at, you know, local events and things of that nature in the past. And I remember a few years back, we were playing a New Year's Eve party, which meant we were going to be playing until I think about 1 a.m. or 1:30 in the morning, something like that. And I distinctly remember that thinking to myself, you know, I guess I'm still young enough that I can play the New Year's Eve gig, but I certainly am going to have a nap before I go do it. So I can certainly relate to that. So thinking about that, you talked about the idea of napping first there, but also just the idea of, let's expand on that first though. Talk a little bit more about the, I guess you could almost call it the pre-nap, I guess, right?
Yes, well, I think what we're talking about here is who should nap. Hmm. So we're not advocating that everybody should nap. We're just saying that if you want to, you should be able to nap. So in an inclusive workplace where people are trusted and given autonomy to look after their own self-care and manage their energy levels so that they can do their work at their best, then in our opinion, being allowed to nap should be something that has a rightful place in employee well-being and performance support provision. So, Danny, some people will recharge by going for a run in the workday. Others might meditate. Others just want to go and hang out and chat to a friend. But some people crave a nap to recharge. You know, they really feel that physical sensation of their eyes burning and their eyelids shutting, and they should be allowed to go and do so and given a place to go to nap in the same way that in workplaces we provide people with places to eat and on-site gyms or rooms to breastfeed a child.
Sure. That, and let's talk a little bit about just finding a place to nap and setting up a place as an employer for people to grab that nap. What would you suggest there?
So every workplace has got an underutilized room. I mean, the great thing about a nap space is that it doesn't have to have windows. So it can be a dark corner or a basement room. So an underutilized room can easily be converted into a quiet nap space. And the types of thing that where people would want to have a nap goes from one extreme of having sort of some beanbag chairs right through to having chairs that recline. And both of those are going to be more cost effective than having the standalone pods that I'm sure your listeners will have seen. Sure. But the most important thing is not even providing the chair or beanbag on which to nap. It is having that culture that supports napping. Because most people that want to nap can actually nap anytime, any place, anywhere. They just need somewhere that they can lay their heads, even if it's on a cushion or simply, you know, on their arms on a desk. We're suggesting to people that, or organizations, that they let people take 10 to 20 minutes out in the day to have a nap, which is no longer than it would take that same person to make yet more cups of coffee or, you know, go to the machine and get more fizzy drinks. So it's not some, we're not asking people to create time in the day for the naps. It's just to replace unhealthy activity with a healthier activity.
Very good. Thinking about this, as soon as we finish our podcast, I actually have to leave and go to the airport for a trip this week. And I'm thinking to myself that I'm already planning a bit of a nap myself on the plane. That's one of the great benefits of flying, is the pilot gets to fly and I don't have to be awake to do that, right? Well, we're getting tight on time here a bit. Any closing tidbits for our listeners as we start to wrap this up?
So we have created at ProNapa something called Nap School. And I think that's the easiest way to introduce the naps into your workplace culture. So Nap School is a digital learning program. It's three online learning modules that would sit on a company's learning management system. They're 15 minutes each. And I think that's a great place to start to educate companies about naps and to shift the stigma. And very briefly, we cover why humans need to rest in the day. So that idea about pulsing your energy. We cover the science and benefits of naps. And then we look into how to have the best workday nap. So Danny, if your listeners want to learn more, they can reach out to me directly. My email is cara.moore@pronappers.co.uk. So that's cara.moore@pronappers, pronappers.co.uk. And Danny, if I may just make one more recommendation, sure. I would recommend that people listening pick up a copy of Why We Sleep by Dr. Matthew Walker. Because when I began this journey to take my passion for napping into the workplace, I found his work really beneficial. And in fact, Dr. Walker says that allowing your people to nap is the biggest form of physiologically injected venture capital that an organization can make. Wow.
That's an incredible statement. Yeah, and it's so interesting because I think back to previous organizations where I've worked. You mentioned it before, you know, we make space for gyms on site for folks. And I remember setting up a gym at one of the facilities where I used to work. I can remember, you know, setting up the employee assistance programs, or helping with the employee assistance program, and how that helped folks with all sorts of a variety of issues there. But I think a lot of folks just don't stop and think about this idea of providing a culture and a climate that allows for and encourages folks to nap if as necessary, right? So very good. Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your time and your expertise with us. And a special thanks as well to our listeners. Please share this with others. They may be just as surprised as I was as to how big of a challenge this really is. Also, I'd encourage you, don't forget about our upcoming Human Factors Conference scheduled for February in Kissimmee, Florida. You can get more information on that at humanfactorsconference.com. That's factors with an S, so humanfactorsconference.com. You can register for the conference there, or you can reach out to your account executive with Safe Start, and they can get you some more information on that. That's our time for today. Thank you so much, and a special, special thanks to Cara Moore for being with us today. I'm Danny Smith for Safe Talk with Safe Start. Until next time, have a great day.